Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the presentation of the Atalian Q1 2023 results. I now hand over to Maximilien Pellegrini, Group CEO. Sir, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and good morning for those listening in the USA. Our Group CFO, Bruno Bayet, and I are very pleased to welcome you here in London for our first Q1 2023 earnings presentations. This meeting is also through to call conference, and it's gonna be recorded. I would like to thank you so much for your continued interest and support and for taking the time for this important update. This is my first interaction with all of you, so we thought it was a good idea to introduce myself and give you my background. Don't worry, it's gonna be very short. As you probably know, I've been working for Suez for more than 22 years. My latest position was Group CEO. I have a financial background. As a matter of fact, I started as CFO before moving to my first CEO position in 2008. I was, in those time, CEO of the construction business for the South Europe and Africa and for the desalination expertise, so I've been developing the business in many regions. I took responsibility in 2013 of all the industrial solutions of the groups in North America, based in New York. I was turning the business around, and I got to deliver profitable growth. In 2017, I came back to France, looking after all the businesses of Suez in France, water and waste, managing pandemic, delivering 24/7 the services, dealing with inflation in 2022, and facing up the price war with our main competitions. It's who I am, very enthusiastic to have joined Atalian, and I'm confident that my expertise and experience dealing with industrial and municipal clients, delivering growth, developing businesses, will be good for the growth and the development of the company. I will start now by providing to you my roadmap for the coming months. I will go through some outline for the Q1s, focusing on sales performance, and most importantly, maybe updating you about the actions we've taken at the beginning of the years to restore the profitability of the groups. I will then give the floor to Bruno, who get into the detail of the financial performance of the group. Finally, I will conclude before getting into the usual Q&A sessions. Let's now dive into the presentations after the disclaimer, page 2. Since my arrival early May, I've been spending a lot of time meeting with people and clients and focusing on Atalian performance, financial and operational ones. I think it's the best way to start with. I'm reviewing all the processes of the group, internal control, financial closing, management business review, management team governance, and obviously last but not least, compliance, which is a topic I'm especially sensitive on. The next step to me is the elaboration of the strategic roadmap of the group for the 5 coming years. I think it's very important for us to understand exactly what type of ambitions we're gonna have moving forward, what type of segment of market and geography we like to target and to shoot for, what potential gap we might have in the value proposition, and what's the best operating model to support the strategy. I aim to finalize this exercise somewhere in the summer and to get back to you by end of September, beginning of October, with a complete strategic plan of business plan, obviously in Capital Markets Days after the summer. Obviously, this will be done in the context and in the perspective of the refinancing of the group, but not only. We need to engage people. It's very critical in a services company. We have been going through bumpy years. I need to make sure that people are engaged, and we need the tool to communicate what's gonna be the ambition of the group for the 5 coming years. If we move now to the next slides, during constructions, sales continue. Very pleased to see that we have delivered a very strong sales performance at the beginning of the year for the first month of 2023. France recorded more than 1 million euros of new contract, up 13% year-on-year, with major wins as SNCF and Accor, just to name a few. Retention rate is solid, above 90%, which is basically the historical benchmark of the group, even if I would highlight a slight deterioration ahead, maybe with the loss of a significant contract in airport operations for 28 million, but with no material impact in EBITDA. IFM remains the growth group's momentum. Contract wins have been 67 million. This represents more than two-thirds of net sales for this activity. I cannot disclose the name of our clients, but we have strong contract ahead, and it's important to notice that those contracts are 4 to 6 years contract, which is much more than the average of the company, which is usually 3 years. I would like to underline that Atalian Groups has a special positioning in the facility management market because we can rely on one head and global groups. We are tackling the market, but at the meantime, we can also rely on self-delivery in many geographies we are operating. In Benelux, retention rate remains very high, very good at 96% after strong wins of end of 2022, and we reported 9 billion euros of contract wins in the first months of the year. CEE had a strong start to the year also, with new contract wins reaching 34 million, more than doubling compared with 2022. Wind took breaks everywhere, but especially in Poland and Turkey. And as you can see on the slide, retention rates continued to improve at 88% compared to last year's, which was 85%. Moving to next slide, which is maybe the most important slide of the presentations. Here, we would like to explain to you all the action plan we've taken at the beginning of the year to make sure that we are going to restore the profitability of the group. Starting with USA. We were struggling in 2022. We lost significant contract like Philadelphia District of School or CVS, and we were dealing with loss-making contract. We made tough decisions, and we took actions. First, a big reduction in SG&A headcount by 7 million euros. We went through a lot of determinations of loss-making contract for an improvement of EBITDA, about 10 million euros. And third, we are improving continuously the contract efficiency we have. I did visit myself, the team, to make sure that we are on track, and we can see that actions are start paying off because we broke even in March, the same in April. Now we need to make sure that the sales dynamism in North America will go up. Regarding France, we have two topics in the agenda, obviously, indexation and cost optimization. We've launched a very impressive and ambitious indexation campaign at the end of 2022, beginning of 2023. Average indexation in the first quarter is 2.6%, and we are reaching, or we are about to reach for the end of the year, 3.5%, hence our objective to deliver 3% indexation impact on average for the entire year 2023, amounting to 42 million euros, more than mitigating what we are expecting in terms of inflation. To date, 80% of the negotiations are completed, and we are issuing the last PO with our client to complete the objective. We are about to start another campaign at the beginning of June. The key factors are to have clearer indexation provisions in our contract, but also, which is extremely important, to put the indexation topic on the table with our clients as a normal way of doing business, and we are training our people to make sure they are comfortable in the discussion. Regarding costs, we have provided details on cost predictions. As you can see, we have three main areas of improvement in terms of EBITDA. First, additional productivity in the cleaning business, more or less 1%, amounting to 11 million euros. Second, we've reduced our SG&A, including corporate functions, by 11 million, adapting the new way of functioning of the groups to the remaining perimeter. And third, an optimization in the portfolio of contract in security with margins are well below the average in France. The benefit there is estimated to 2 million euros. Everything is launched and we are monitoring strictly this action plan for France. And last but not least, I made the decision to take the direct responsibility of the France business. Outside France, the same applies. We expect lower cost structure in CE and Benelux and also better contract management amounting to 15 million euros. When it comes to cash generations, several actions have been launched also in terms of working capital management, billing and capex optimizations. Very pleased to see that we've increased the factoring lines by 30 million euros and hopefully soon our subsidiary internationally will benefit from it. So strong action plans we have launched and we are monitoring strictly. I will now hand over to Bruno who will discuss with you the Q1 financial results.
Thank you, Maximilien, and good afternoon, everyone in the room or listening to the call. So similarly to the presentation of our full-year results, our quarter one results are presented in accordance to the IFRS 5 and the financial contribution of the entities being divested are presented on a separate line. So Maximilien has shared with you all the efforts realized, notably in France, in the USA, but also at the corporate level and at the international level. Those results don't yet translate into visible improvements in the quarter one due to the still negative impact of cost pass-through in the quarter one and the effect of the productivity measures that should start contributing from the second quarter. However, we see the visible impact on the net debt reduction with the completion of our divestments in the UK, Ireland, Asia, and Africa in the first quarter of this year. Having said that, the year started strongly with the net sales up of 7.3% on the like-for-like basis. Meanwhile, the cash flow are still negative due to the seasonality effects, project startup, and the impact of inflation on our working capital in the beginning of the year. Highlighting on the next slide the key figures for the period, our top line stands at 529 million versus last year 506 million, so up 7.3 on a like-for-like basis. As expected, EBITDA stands at 16 million euro versus 33 million a year ago and stable compared to last quarter. Operating profits, excluding non-recurring item, is about 1 million and mainly impacted by the drop of the performance in a quarter. Considering the other non-recurring items, we recognize 164 million capital gain for the divestments of our activities to CD&R, and the operating profit stands at 164 million, and net results at 155 million. Cash flow from operation is negative 43 million, and our net financial debt reached 727 million at the end of March compared to 1,264 million a year ago, reflecting the disposal of the activities and the cash flow from operations in the period. Coming back on the top line, in addition to my earlier comments on the top line growth of 7.3% on the like-for-like basis we experienced in the quarter, I would like to emphasize that we have actually a growth of about 10% excluding the USA, where France, Benelux and CEE contributed 47 million additional revenue. The impact of scope is mainly related to the divestments of Vietnam and the African business in December, and the foreign currency impact is mainly related to the Turkish lira that is depreciated compared to the euro. If we look at the price and volume mix on a like-for-like basis, the price contribution is an increase of about 4%, while volume is contributing for an increase of 3.3%. If we adjust for the drop of the U.S. activity, the growth in volume is 5.2%. Moving on slide 11, our recurring EBITDA was significantly impacted by lower recurring EBITDA in France for about 16 million. And I will go now into more detail to analyze the different performance in the regions. So starting with France, net sales is up 5.2% on a like-for-like basis, reaching 359 million, supported by the good performance of our integrated FM activity. The top line contribution from new wins net of losses in the cleaning activity, as well as the benefit of indexation, despite a lower contribution from special works. As announced at the end of our the presentation of our full year earnings, EBITDA showed a deterioration compared to last year and is down 15.8 million versus last year. Three major effects: the inflation effect not fully offset by the indexation, which has an impact of about 4 million compared to last year; lower contribution from special works, another impact of about 4 million; and the net impact of win versus losses, as the wins are starting with a lower contribution at the start of the project, which is another effect of about 4 million. The performance in the quarter one was anticipated, and we expect a pickup gradually from the quarter two throughout the rest of the year. Looking now at our international activities, on a like-for-like, growth is about 11.3% for the quarter. As mentioned earlier, net sales in the USA were still impacted by contract losses and contract elimination, with about 25.8% decline in the quarter. However, excluding the USA, or like-for-like, net sales growth is 22.3% for the quarter, with a solid commercial wins and the benefit of indexation. Recurring EBITDA stands at 5.7 million in the quarter. With regard to our US operations, despite the negative performance in the quarter, it is worth mentioning that March was the first month at break-even, and we expect the trend to continue for the following months. In CEE, despite the inflation and the indexation and the impact of new regulation on retirement in Turkey, the region managed to perform well and to deliver an improvement of our EBITDA, which stands at 4.2 million. In Benelux, we had the impact of significant contract wins in 2022, which proved to be more complicated than anticipated at the startup. But now this is gradually being addressed, and we will see an improvement of our performance in the region. Moving to the rest of the income statements, starting from EBITDA, the operating profits before non-recurring item is standing at 1 million, mainly impacted by the operational performance. As I indicated earlier, the non-recurring items of 163 million mainly includes the capital gain on the disposal of our activities in the UK, Ireland, and Asia for 164 million. Financial expenses of 21.4 million versus last year, slightly up compared to last year, mainly due to the utilization of our factoring of our RCF in the first part of the year and the increase in the underlying interest rates. However, this was partially mitigated by a 7.6 million capital gain of our FX exposure. We close the period with a net results of 155 million, including the 7.7 million contribution from the assets divested for the months of January and February. We now look at the cash flow from operation. The cash flow from operation, excluding the non-recurring item, is -33 million, mainly impacted by the lower EBITDA. The change in working capital is -31 million, slightly better than last year, despite the negative impact from inflation. As you know, the first quarter usually is impacted negatively by the seasonality of our operations. CapEx stands at 15.2 million, in line with last year, and the group will have a particular focus in the rest of the year in managing our CapEx spendings. The non-recurring items of 10 million mainly relates to the transaction costs, which were accrued or booked in our full year accounts. Bottom line, CFFO stands at -42.9 million, impacting our net financial debt, as I will show on the next slide. The net effect of the cash flow is deteriorating our net financial debt. We have another impact on our net financial debt, mainly related to 21 million cash being in escrow due to litigation with a third party, but we expect to have a positive development going forward on this particular matter. The disposal activities in the U.K., Asia, and Actions generated 684 million when including net proceeds and the cash impact being deconsolidated. The net debt at the end of the quarter is 727 million. Adjusted for the 55 million of vendor loan notes to be received in February 2025 and accounted as non-current financial assets, the debt is standing at 672. Moving on slide 17, a word on liquidity. At the end of March, group liquidity reached a level of 734 million, which includes 679 million in cash and cash equivalents. This includes cash proceeds for the disposal, net of 40 million redemption for the RCF. We also benefited from the increase of our factoring line from 220 million to 250 million euro and an extension of our maturity in our factoring line to September 2024. The utilization of the non-recourse factoring line stands for the quarter at 196 million. I will now move to Maximilien for the conclusion.
Thank you very much, Bruno. To conclude our Q1 earnings presentation, I would like to once again point out, although Q1 was in line with our expectations, a lot of work have been done, and we are looking forward to the pickup in EBITDA along the road in 2023. We can guarantee you that all the actions have been taken, are launched, and are strictly monitored. Thank you for your attention. We are ready now to your question in the room over the phones. As usual, please try to keep your question to a maximum of two as well. We shall aim to close this call by 3:00 P.M.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one one on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one one on your telephone keypad.
Please go ahead. Could you put your mic, please? Could you put your mic?
High tech. Thank you very much for the presentation. I just wanted to know if you could explain a little bit, like, when you see an inflection point for France, you know, whether it's sequentially or quarter-on-quarter, if you can give us a bit more guidance on that, please.
Thank you for your questions. Obviously, as we are explaining, we are now, you know, taking actions. We expect to have the first result of our actions in the second semester. Obviously, it will be continued because the indexation is something which is on the way each single month. We need to conclude phase one, and we are about to start phase two. And we have good sign on the productivity, especially on the cleaning business in France. We should have good results in the second quarter, but the full impact of what we are talking about should be more in the second semester. What we are looking for is to restore profitability on the baseline basis to start 2024 in a good shape.
Thank you.
Maybe we can now take a question over the call.
Yes, we have a question from Henry Ndong from Rothschild & Co.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Thanks for the presentation. It was pretty clear. Maybe just a question on the indexation plan and productivity measures that you have in France. Can you elaborate on the contingency plan that you have on that one? I can imagine that the figures that you're giving us is maybe a kind of low point. Can you just give us your flexibility under those objectives that you provided? Thanks.
As all the companies, obviously, we put strict and ambitious objectives to the team in terms of indexations and in terms of productivity measures. And budget-wise, we try to be cautious, not only on the objective, but in the pace we are getting, you know, those measures in the P&L. The team tried to be as cautious as we could. But once again, we are confident about the fact we're going to get where we want to be, but the time is the pace of what we are able to put in our P&L, because obviously productivity measures are going very well, but indexations depends on the negotiation we have with our clients, so it's difficult to control the time.
Okay, thanks. And just the second question is, on the CEE part of the business portfolio, is that still strategic, or can we assume that at some point in time it will be as the US and you will be willing to dispose those? Thanks.
As I explained before, the facility management market is at stake for Atalian. Once again, I will repeat myself, but we really think that we have a unique positioning for tackling this market. Why? Because we are tackling this market with a global and unique team, with global and unique tools, and to be different from the competitions, we need to present to our client self-delivery. So we really think that the footprint we have in Europe, we see, is strategic for tackling the FM market, which is very important because it's able to deliver growth, but at the meantime, is protecting the margin of the traditional business of Atalian. So as we speak, we think that we need to keep our footprint in Europe to tackle the facility management market.
Great, thanks.
We have a question in the room, so please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the presentation. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the productivity measures you're targeting in France and the balance between the cost savings you're targeting and maintaining contract retention, customer service, all that kind of thing, because presumably you try and run efficiency anyway. How do you trade those two off?
Obviously, it's always a balance because we are looking for loyalty for our clients, so we need to deliver quality of services. But at the meantime, we think that our contracts need to be more efficient, so it's a question of organization. And we are pushing very hard the team to make, you know, the jobs in a very qualitative measure, saving costs. We think there is room for improvements in terms of ratio. If we look at the historical benchmark of the company, we think we can improve the productivity and do much better. It's exactly what we are doing, not putting in jeopardy, obviously, the relationship with our clients. And as a matter of fact, when you see the retention rates as we speak for the first quarter, we are in the benchmark.
Okay.
So we think we can improve, making, you know, the contract most efficient and getting the right balance between client loyalty and cost optimization.
And then just also, I suppose, on this box, in terms of the SG&A savings you're targeting, you also in your introduction talked about investing in new processes and governance. To what extent are there kind of new costs coming in that are going to offset the costs coming out?
Thinking about
the SG&A savings, and then on the one hand, and then you have talked about wanting new processes and governance in your introductory remarks, so compliance and so to what extent do we have new costs coming in that are going to offset the costs coming out?
When I meant new governance, I meant leaner organizations. Once again, I will take direct responsibility for France. In terms of being the group CEO, I really think that we need a leaner organization to be closer to operation, to make sure that we are on track in all the action plan we are launching. So new government doesn't mean at all additional cost. And I would say the opposite, to make simpler and leaner organizations. And at the meantime, we need also to adapt the way of functioning of the new Atalian to the new perimeter of the groups. It's why, you know, we introduce this time the corporate function savings we are putting also into the plan.
Thank you.
Maybe just following up on this slide six, you know, so you mentioned, you know, all those objectives to should gross up the EBITDA to up to 60 million. Or shall we put that in perspective of the guidance you give on the full year, which was a full year EBITDA of 130 million?
I'm launching again a bottom-up budget process to make sure that we are on track. What I can guarantee to you is the fact that all those actions are launch monitors. Once again, we need to control the pace because we need to have the result in our P&Ls. I think the outlooks should be okay, but today we are concentrating ourselves to restore the profitability on the group based on all action plans. So it's what we are monitoring, and we'll see, you know, along the road the full impact in the year. We have a question by phone, and after a while we get back to the room, if you don't mind.
We have a next question from Alberto Gisualdi from Ver Capital.
Good afternoon. I have one question regarding the refinancing. Or two questions, but all regarding the reference. The first one is maybe you said about, and I missed, I don't know, why you put the exact date of 28 February 2024 and not, for example, mid-March or mid-February. It's the exact date that surprised me. The second question is, if you can give more color on the process, because one of the things that we already learned by Atalian in these years is that Atalian is very, very good in making estimates and providing target, but it's also good to never achieve, as would happen in the past on the increase in the capital or on the exceptional transaction that should have occurred last year. So if you can give more color, something that is more than this sentence putting in on the paper, refinancing to be completed 28 February 2024. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. It's exactly why I need time to make sure that we are totally clear about the global plans we need for the next coming years. We would like to take the time to assess the strategical position of the company, what we would like to shoot for, and to address the refinancing with something which is very important. It's the capability we have to generate cash flow in the future based on a new strategy and a new ambition. So there is a lot of work to do in the coming months to get back to you with a clear vision, obviously with my commitment on top of that, to make sure that not only for 2023, but for the coming years, we deliver what we will promise. It's the mindset in which we are. The management team is fully on board. We have a lot of work to do to make sure that we have a good assessment of the situations in terms of strength, but also room for improvements, to make sure that the plan is consistent with the market and with the capabilities of the company. And it's why we plan to get back to you in September, October, with a clear and complete plan. We expect the date, we will hear the deadline, I would say, and we'll see, you know, in September what we are able to open in terms of discussions with our investor. But
okay.
The most important thing for me, before getting into the details of the refinancing, it's what we would like to do with this business in terms of cash flow. It's my first priority now. And afterwards, we can get into all the details with our investment to see what the best option for all the stakeholders.
Okay, thank you for your answer.
Sorry, quick question. Can you please explain how much from the drop in the France EBITDA is related to contract losses versus pure like labor inflation? Just want to understand, you know, how much the inflation is impacting the business versus pure contract losses.
Today, as I explained, the sales dynamism in France is very good. The retention rate as we speak is 90%, and the projection we have over 2023 is exactly on track, so we are in the historical benchmark of the groups. As a matter of fact, we should benefit in France of the good dynamism of the facility management market. We have been awarded a large contract. I cannot disclose the name of a client. We should benefit France. So sales-wise, we are doing okay. Now, once again, we need to make sure that indexation going to be in the mindset of our people to discuss with our client each time is necessary. So we have done a huge effort at the beginning of the years to pass on the first indexations, and we are pleased about the result because we should have 3% full impact in 2023, but it's not the end because we are about to launch another wave of indexation campaigns, because it's what it is in our business. And it's also a way for us to justify that we present to the client some idea, productivity, descoping, additional scope. In services business, the way of negotiating with our client is key. It's why we're paying attention to the training of our people to make sure that it's going to be now in our mindset. Atalian is very good in managing contracts. It's what they've seen in 4 weeks, but they explained to me a lot of things. Now we need to be as much as good as claiming for our clients, indexations, and everything, you know, we can claim for.
Sorry, can I ask another point? Related to this, are you seeing this similar trend on your competitors? Or, as I think, just looking for some of probably your competitors, I can see the same EBITDA drop. So just wanted to understand if, you know, you think it's a market-wise issue or more related to Atalian. Thank you.
I think the driver of the business are the same for everyone, but I prefer to get back to Atalian to explain what I'm seeing as a differentiation factor. I really think that for all the business we are tackling today, we have some specificity in terms of expertise to tackle some niche of markets in some industrial segments in where we are very good at. And in those segments, obviously, we are speaking with operational people and we are getting into their process so we can protect much better the margin. So what I would like to see in the future, it's more differentiation in our business, especially in France. I really think it's feasible to make ourselves different from the competition. And second, which is very good, it's we are talking about inflation and the difficult business environment as something which is difficult to deal with. It's true. But the market is very fragmented. There is a lot of small companies in France. They are all struggling. So we think that we can also, in this very complex business environment, capture opportunities because we are stronger, we are bigger, and we can provide to our clients global deal, complex deal, and provide to them productivity, competitiveness, and value added. So in this context, I really think in the long run, we should have also opportunities.
Thanks for taking the questions. Two quick ones. The first on productivity measures in the international division. Could you give a bit more color on those? Because it's quite a big uplift relative to the EBITDA ex-US, about 50%. And the second one's a bit, just a technical one on the CapEx reduction you mentioned. Is that excluding the impact of the accounting change for your uniforms? So I think that's about 7 million on its own. Thanks.
Maybe for CEO Benedict Spazio, I will take this one and let you answer to the uniform CapEx story. The same applies for international. I really think that we have done the job with the team to understand exactly what the benchmark is in terms of productivity, and the team is catching up what we were always doing. But what is interesting to see internationally, it's we are fully equipped in terms of way of functioning, mindsets, to pass the inflation on to our clients. In something we are not suffering, so we are able to protect the margin. So the measures are completely integrating between cost optimizations, better management compliance, and in the meantime, client negotiations. It's fully integrated and is doing very well, especially in some country where the inflation is very high, but it's working very well. I have Turkey in mind, but we are able to pass all the inflation on, and in the way of functioning, in all these discussions with our clients, we can negotiate and make our contract much more profitable. And getting back to specific points of productivity, it's to catch up what we have been doing historically.
Yes, yeah, so on the CapEx, indeed, that's the target that we are aiming is excluding the uniform impact. The uniform impact is, as indicated, about 7 million negative impact compared to 2022. Nevertheless, we are optimizing our assets and ensuring that we can target to reduce the cash outs on those investments, whether it is maintenance CapEx, whether it is operating CapEx.
Thanks.
Can you hear me? Yes, you can. Great. Quick one on cash flow. I wanted to understand, is there going to be any more cash outflows, kind of non-recurring items from the transaction going forward? And could you quantify that, if so?
So in terms of cash outflow for the, I think that if there is, it's quite minor. So most of the transaction costs have been already paid.
Okay. And secondly, on working capital, could you just kind of explain in basic terms just the general seasonality? I understand there's an outflow in Q1. How do you expect that to trend in Q2, Q3, and Q4 going forward, just to say?
So usually I mean, if you take historically, I mean, quarter one usually is a quarter where we have a lot of startup costs, seasonality effects that is impacting the quarter one. Quarter two is we are in the curve of progressively restoring the cash flow. And it's only from the summer that we have the benefits of higher cash generation. This is particularly true when you have inflation, because you have your first effect of inflation on your costs before you actually have the full benefit of the indexation. So this is what will happen on our cash flow, and the working capital will improve starting from end of quarter two, relatively H2.
Okay, thank you. And just one last one for me on the U.S. business. EBITDA was like 1.1 just about now in Q1. I think you said it was in positive territory in April. Could you just confirm that, and where do you kind of expect EBITDA to be in Q2?
So the trend and the efforts, as we indicated, are extremely strong in the USA. They have been working on the restructuring and the reorganization of our operations in the U.S. Now we see that we are getting out of the of, of uh, of negative territory. So March was break-even. April is also break-even, and we gradually see the improvements going forward. We all overall anticipate that the full year will be positive.
Maybe just to add for US, it's why you can see a decrease in turnover because we've made the decisions to terminate, you know, loss-making contracts. So we get out, and it's why, you know, turnover is going down, which is impacting also, you know, the sales growth of the group. I propose maybe now to take questions over the phone.
Yes.
Yes,
we have a question, sorry. We have a question from Matthew Sojiki from Morgan Stanley.
Hey, hello. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I had one question about indexation. So this 3%, this is the first time you're indexing your contracts or this is the second time? Because you had much higher inflation in the past and now it's dialing down, but the 3% doesn't seem like it's adequate to the cost you are bearing at the moment. I know that I asked this question the previous quarter, but maybe you have a better explanation right now. That's the one question. And the second question, so on the page 6 of the presentation, you're assuming that you're going to generate 20 million, more than 20 million of EBITDA in the US. So that will be very back-end loaded. I assume it's going to be like a Q3, Q4 type of situation if you currently kind of in the break-even territory. Thank you. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. So we made one indexation campaign in 2022. And what we are forecasting to do in 2023 is the following. First of all, we've launched and we are about to conclude the first campaign, 2023, we have launched at the beginning of the year. It's why I'm talking about 3% average full impact 2023. But we are about to launch another one, a new wave of indexation campaign in June, which is not included in the 3% I'm talking about, which is the average result of the first indexation campaign. So we are forecasting in 2022 at least two waves of indexation with our clients to get back to normal, regular negotiations with our clients about indexation. So we forecast obviously more than 3% because we didn't put here the result of the second one. And respect US, when we are talking about 20 million of EBITDA improvement is respect 2022 because we are forecasting to be break-even in 2023 where when we were losing money in 2022. So it's more a question of improvement of EBITDA versus 22 than EBITDA delivery in 2023.
Okay, got it. That's clear. That's clear, yeah. That's very clear. Thank you.
I just follow up on the answer you give to the previous attendant. The first wave will give you benefit of 5 million EBITDA. First wave of the price indexation will give you 5 million EBITDA in benefit. What will be the benefit for the second wave if you achieve that?
5 million, you're right, is a result, is a net result of wave one. What we've done, just to wrap up a little bit, we analyze in detail for which clients how much we need to claim to offset the inflation we have and to anticipate, you know, potential inflation going up for the rest of 2023. So we were cautious, but we didn't have, as we speak, the feedback of our clients, so we don't know exactly how receptive they're going to be to the second wave. But obviously, we're going to get something between what we have done in the past and what we are expecting. So we are assessing the situations to put the right objective in the budget along the road in 2023. But we were ambitious in what we are claiming to our clients. Now we need to assess what it's reasonable to put in our P&L moving forward.
So the second question is regarding the margin for the contract you just won very recently. You won 101 million new contract in France. Is the margin on this contract very comparable to the last year's margin, which is doubling the margin you are achieving now, just based on the Q1 results?
The margins are comparable. What we are changing now, it's a much more solid provision in term of indexations, in term of pricing, obviously, because each time it's feasible, we try to anticipate in our contract, you know, what's gonna be the inflation moving forward. We try also to put in the contract, you know, a fair price escalation formula to have fair discussions with our clients. Margin-wise, we are in the same range, but we think in term of pricing, we are much more resilient than before because we are anticipating, you know, price escalation formula plus, you know, much better pricing.
Maybe just to complement the way contracts are working in France. We overall maintain the same level of margin. You recall that we have about a startup at a lower margin, and actually we gradually recover the level of margin similar to the same level we were recording on the previous years. It is the same type of margin that we record on those contracts. Margin at startup and the ramp up of the efficiency is similar to what we have experienced in the past.
Hi, it's Gemma from JPMorgan. Bonjour, Maximilien. I had a question as a follow-up to the previous one. You said you're gonna be looking at a bottom-up approach in terms of reassessing the companies. Should we take the potential or the 150 million of guidance as one that you could be moving away from, depending on your assessment, whether that's downward or upwards? Is there any potential here for these targets to be moved? My second question, given your previous roles at maybe similar but related companies, and you just started, you've been a few weeks in, has there been any, maybe negative is not the term, but has there been any major concerns or any negative surprises that you've seen within the business that you think this could be addressed right away within the next couple of weeks or months?
Thank you for your question. What I can tell you, it's, I've seen obviously the guidance and the budget, so the budgets have been done seriously based on all the actions items I have described to you. I think it's fair for me to assess the situations, and I relaunched a bottom-up budget to make sure that I'm okay in term of risk assessments and guidance. I cannot confirm, but I cannot say either that it's not a good guidance. I need time to assess personally the situations, but what have been done seriously based on the strict actions I'm disclosing to you today. It's a little bit early to see if my assessment is not complete, obviously, but what I can tell you, I've seen motivated team. I've seen team fully focused on the action plans, which is very important because here you have the sum up, but everything is declinable by entity, by manager, so the job have been done. Now it's more questions of pace to see how much long it will take for us to catch up. We will catch up for sure. To make the right arbitrations in term of business priority moving forward. No, I didn't have by surprise so far.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. I just wanted to clarify a bit more on the French savings that you have on page six. I'm again going to take you back to the last call, and I appreciate the comments that you just made, so I completely understand that. In the last call, I believe, Bruno, you mentioned about 3 million uplift in France, and I'm just curious whether that 3 million number includes the savings you have shown today, or whether these are additional savings or new savings since then?
The improvements, what have been presented as part of the action plan has been embedded in the guidance that was done last quarter. So now it's about ensuring the execution of all the actions and the initiatives that has been assessed or made with the team. So that's part of the plan.
And secondly, just in terms of France then, can you maybe just talk me through how you typically see the progression of margins from renewals on new contracts over how long does it take for you to kind of realize the kind of mature margin that you'd expect to achieve?
Usually it's up to a maximum of 6 months before we see the full benefits of the margin improvements. They are significant. And then during the remaining life of the contract, we have a gradual marginal efficiency improvements that's until, I would say, a quarter before the renewal of the contract, where there's a little bit of margin drop pre-negotiation, and then actually once the contract is renewed, then actually we are able to identify or to implement new efficiencies. So there are gains at the beginning, and there are efficiencies throughout the life of a contract. That's why we have that potential of productivity and contract efficiencies. It's actually twofold. It's what we do at the beginning and what we do during the entire life on the entire portfolio of contracts.
Okay, thank you.
Just one more question from me. Back to page 6, sorry, on that same page. I noticed that the 60 million is a delta. The 60 million of EBITDA is an improvement measure. What is your base? Is your base 95 million 2022 retained business EBITDA, or the base is 78 million LTM towards March 23, or your base is run rate of about 60-70 million? What is your base?
Base is the 95 million that we reported. So, but what we indicated in our presentation of our results for the full year is that we have, first of all, an impact of the uniform and the special works. We have all the initiatives that are being taken. Those are all the plans that we're tracking. That's the potential savings and improvements that we have. And then we have the net win and losses that is contributing negatively. Overall, that's aimed to deliver the plan.
So in other words, if you do achieve this plan, your EBITDA will be 95 plus 60. Will we reach about 155 million?
That's not what we're saying.
because I did notice when you count the EBITDA benefit from indexation, you already take into account the expected inflation for this year.
So the inflation effect is, so we have a 5 million contribution of indexation plus so the cost pass through is about positive plus 5. So it integrates the 3% overall for the full year price indexation net of inflation.
Inflation. Thank you.
Oh, I was about to conclude, but please go ahead, sir.
A quick question, just going back to the refinancing comment that you had made. I'd just like to, better understand for my benefit as to between now and October, you will, internally as Thalia, are going to, do work on it and then come back to the market, to the lenders with a plan, or do you plan on involving the lenders during this process as well? Just would like to understand a bit more how you're thinking about it.
I don't mind to involve the lenders, but for that, I need to say something interesting. So I need to focus on Italians to make sure that they have something to put on the table. So I can guarantee you guys, as soon as I can, explain what we're going to do based on my commitment and my full assessment, I will get back to you. And that today, expected to be, you know, end of September, beginning of October. There is a lot of things to do, and I know it's maybe a long time for you, but it's short time for me to understand fully the potential of this company. I'm convinced there is a huge potential, but I need to assess the situations. I need to work out with the team a complete plan and to get back to you with a consistent, clear, and ambitious plan, and more importantly, with my commitment on top of that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your attention here, physically and by phones. Thank you, and see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.